I invite you to turn to your Bible and to go to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms. And this morning we'll read Psalm 35. Psalm 35. In the Bible that I have here, the title that's been given by the editors is the Lord, the Avenger of His People. Well, that doesn't mean He's not a most gracious God, and that comes out. And I hope we'll see that also in our text for this morning, which is 14b of this psalm. It's a psalm of David. Let's read this psalm together, Psalm 35. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help, and draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. Let those be turned back and brought to confusion who plot my hurt. Let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord pursue them. For without cause they have hidden their net for me in a pit, which they have dug without cause for my life. Let destruction come upon him unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him. Yes, the poor and the needy from him who plunders him. Fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered together. Attackers gathered against me, and I did not know it. They tore at me and did not cease. With ungodly mockers and at feasts, they gnashed at me with their teeth. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink with the eye who hate me without a cause. For they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful matters against the quiet ones in the land. They also opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. This you have seen, O Lord. Do not keep silence. O Lord, do not be far from me. Stir up yourself and awake to my vindication, to my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord my God, according to your righteousness. And let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so we would have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion, who rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor, who exalt themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad, who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. So far the reading of God's holy word. And as I said, our text is verse 14. I'll read the whole verse, especially the second part will be our text. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, is just over 28 years ago that my mother passed away. I was 37 years old at the time. She was diagnosed with liver cancer around Christmas, 1991. And by early April 1992, she had died at age 72. She lived and died by God's grace in the Lord. My mother-in-law, likewise, passed on more than 16 years ago, November 2003, reaching the age of 81. It's truly amazing to me how a dear brother in our Calgary church family, at least a year older than myself presently, still has his mother alive and able to converse with her regularly, even at age 99. And soon in July, God willing, to reach the age of 100. Many of you have reached the age where your dear parents have passed on already, or at least one of them. Some of you only recently lost your mother. Many of you will likely experience it in the years ahead, if the Lord tarries, that you will lose your parents. Of course, we never know ourselves, do we? Whether we might die before our parents. Well, why talk about all this now, you might ask? Well, today, with it being Mother's Day in our society, in our text passage from Psalm 35, we hear David speaking of mourning for others, like one mourns the loss of his mother. In pastoral ministry over the years, I've often referred to this text phrase in Psalm 35, verse 14b, to mention how the Bible recognizes the extra deep loss with the death of a mother. David testifies in verse 14, speaking of his care, even for those who were proving to be his enemies. I paced about as though they were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. David, in this text, is telling us that he cares even for those who were hunting him down and saying mean and false things about him. Oh, David prays in this psalm that God will deal justly with the wicked. But he's most caring even for the wicked. Psalm 35 was written likely in the years when King Saul was relentlessly pursuing David, being jealous of him, you know, and constantly out to persecute and kill him if he could. We know later when King Saul did die on the battlefield along with his son Jonathan, David sincerely mourned King Saul's death. So we read in 2 Samuel 1 verse 17 and following, then David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. And he taught Israel a song of lament in praise of them and mourning the loss of them. When David then in our text psalm, Psalm 35, testifies how he cared even for his enemies in their needs and troubles, we know that he meant this sincerely. Yes, while he would have justice done, yet David shares the depths of his care even for his enemies when he says he mourns for them in their needs. Yes, mourns for them even like one mourns for his mother. In other words, David is saying here, you need to see this, he was truly caring and moved with the troubles of others, not just superficially so, no, but genuinely and heartily so. The Psalter version, Psalter 92 verse 4, puts it this way, when in affliction they were sad, I wept and made their grief mine own. So in this morning's sermon, in preaching God's word from Psalm 35, let's consider the question as given in our sermon theme. Why highlight mourning for his mother in this context? And it leads us to think about motherhood along three points. We see motherhood as such a tender, gracious blessing brought out here, and such a true gospel picture, and such a tremendous, glorious responsibility. With the first point about motherhood being such a tender, gracious blessing for us in our lives. Just thinking of David, do we know anything about his mother? No. We know David's great-grandmother was Ruth. And his great-great-grandmother was Naomi. These were both godly women and such a blessing in their families and generations. What a privilege to have such a godly and loving heritage. As many of us also have experienced. David knew besides this though that mother is always special because, well, she gives birth to us. And she's usually the first in giving so much care and love to us. In Psalm 35, we are told of all David's ceaseless struggles and pressures in life. And we can well imagine how helpful and comforting for him having a dear mother and possibly grandmother ever encouraging him and standing with him. Not that he could call them on the phone like we're so privileged to do, and even to Skype, etc. We are told, interestingly, in the middle of the strife with King Saul, as the family came to be with David, even dwelling in caves, 1 Samuel 22, verse 3, that, quote, David asked the king of Moab, where Ruth had come from, remember, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. Who can tell, congregation, the value of a mother's care and prayer and love and concern, and her self-sacrificing mentoring and training of her children? The Bible highlights, doesn't it, the tender blessing of a dear and especially godly mother in many ways. Of course, we can turn to Proverbs 31 to prove this. We read there in the verses 10 and 11 and 28, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. Her children, if God gives such, rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. In Psalm 22, again, in the context of much strife, the believing psalmist mentions his dear mother as well. He cries out to God in the midst of many troubles and challenges. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there's none to help. What is implied here by the psalmist, isn't it, in these verses? The blessed influence of a godly mother. In the New Testament, we are told about Timothy having so been blessed with a godly mother and grandmother. Paul writes thus to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 4 and 5, I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. Congregation, that a mother is special in all kinds of ways, we know, considering the countless self-sacrificing cares and love of a faithful mother. A well-known, popular, older preacher of today wrote a poem or a note to his mom called an IOU note. And maybe you can guess what it said, and I quote, as I walk through my museum of memories, he wrote to his mom, I owe you for your time, day and night. I owe you for your example, consistent and dependable. I owe you for your support, stimulating and challenging. I owe you for your humor, sparky and quick. I owe you for your counsel, wise and quiet. I owe you for your humility, genuine and gracious. I owe you for your hospitality, smiling and warm. I owe you for your insight, keen and honest. I owe you for your flexibility, patient and joyful. I owe you for your sacrifices, numerous and quickly forgotten. I owe you for your faith, solid and sure. I owe you for your hope, ceaseless and indestructible. I owe you for your love, devoted and deep. for many of us, isn't it true? This is what motherhood meant for us. I mentioned to you before, in years past, a wall plaque that reads, "A mother is someone who can take the place of many others, but whose place no one else can take." Well, something of all this, congregation, is surely reflected in David's words when saying how deeply he cared for others in their needs, indeed, that he was bowed down heavily for them as one who mourns for his mother. Mother in the family is very special. Something reflected also in Leviticus 21, verse 1 to 3. In those verses, Leviticus 21, 1 to 3, we read about the priests not defiling themselves with what was considered unclean and would make them unclean and not able to serve until a certain time of quarantine. We read there, listen, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, his brother, also his virgin sister who is near to him, who has had no husband. For her he may defile himself. Otherwise he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself.'" Again, do you see how that reference to highlights mother as very special, being also the first mentioned in that list? We live, sadly, in a secular post-Christian world where the concept of motherhood as taught in the Bible has been increasingly lost. I read this past week about a woman who transgendered to become a man. But before that medical process was even near completion, something impossible actually, and while legally she had successfully registered now as a man, she yet gave birth to a child. The sad part is, this person insisted on the birth being registered from her as a man, which she now pretended to be. She wanted to have the birth registered from a man. We live in such crazy times. We live in a time when marriage and family life, as God ordained it from the beginning, and as nature and biology and science calls for it, is being blatantly, foolishly, and tragically rebelled against. But God will not be mocked, we know. And strangely, at the same time, isn't it, our society celebrates Mother's Day. Admittedly, there are those who, for whom this day is filled with mixed emotions because of all kinds of struggles and trials in family life. Some of you don't have such good bonds with your mother, nor such appreciative memories of her. But many of us do still. And this reminds me how in the Bible as well, we are told of good mothers and also very bad mothers. Jezebel and Athaliah could be examples of horrible mothers. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, we would say is a prime example of a very precious, faithful, godly mother. It is good, congregation, that we pause and express thanks to God, yes, indeed, for faithful, godly mothers still today. Also something which many of us have been privileged to experience and grow up with. The assumption is, from our text even, that David experienced this as well. And so he relates as the most clear evidence of genuine care and compassion for others in their needs, even for his enemies, "I bow down heavily," literally in darkness, "as one who mourns for his mother." To lose a dear mother is a huge loss indeed. As another said, the mother usually wins the deepest love, and her loss is most keenly felt. It takes a lot of grace and faith and strength in the Lord to overcome the grief with such a loss. And even when it is said, time heals the gaping wound of grief, and often in God's kind providence, it does, yet still it doesn't remove the aching loss. How many also from among us would just love to visit with Mom again and to ask her what she thought about this or that, or what she might do in this or that situation. God help you when you even now mourn the loss of your mother or some other dear loved one in your life. Saying that brings us now also to our second main point. Remember, our theme is why highlighting mourning for his mother in the context of Psalm 35. And we have thought through our first point about motherhood being such a tender, gracious blessing. But consider now our second point, which is the gospel point of our text. And that is how motherhood is such a true picture of the character and ways of God himself with his people. And here, just look for a moment again a bit closer at Psalm 35. In this psalm, David is relating something of all the constant attacks that he's experiencing in his life from others. Verses 1 to 10, and then in verses 11 to 18, he tells of all the misrepresentation and persecution that he kept suffering. And then in verses 19 to 28, he tells about the ongoing mockery that he was thinking he would be and was actually experiencing coming his way. And all three sections are interspersed. You can read it throughout with David's praying for help to God and him showing thankful refuge for himself in and with the Lord. The devil didn't want David to be the next king because David was to be a godly king. The devil and the world resisted it. Well, this psalm, congregation, as much as it tells us of David's trials and tribulations, and God is his refuge and strength still, it's ultimately a messianic psalm. We know that, don't we? It's a psalm that points us really to the great Son of David, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And it was true of Jesus when here on earth, was it not indeed? In a far more terrible and greater and unending way than even with David. How Jesus was hounded and pursued by Satan and all his enemies. The devil didn't want the Son of David to become king of his people. And Jesus, at his birth already, we know he had to flee with his parents to Egypt from the hate and the wrath of Herod. And so it went on in his life, and at the end, Jesus was so despised and rejected of men, Jews and Gentiles, that they took him and they crucified him on Golgotha with notorious criminals of the day. Oh, how Jesus was pursued and persecuted and misrepresented and mocked and scorned by so many from his birth to his death on the cross. Jesus willingly gave himself to this, we know. But let's not undermine how much he suffered. We never can know really how much Jesus suffered at the hands of men all his earthly life until the end with his death on the cross. At the same time, let's get this, in a far greater way than David even, we know Jesus cared for the people around him. Yes, even for his enemies. Jesus had such deep compassion for sinners, lost and blinded in their evil ways and headed to destruction, except they repent of sin and believe on him. Oh yes, Jesus too would ask for justice, but his care for sinners never ceased. Jesus' love and care for others, even for those against him, was in a perfect way like David's in our text. Psalm 35:14. I bow down heavily, literally in darkness, as one who mourns for his mother. Thinking of the others. See Jesus thus in the Garden of Gethsemane, with his face to the ground, in the darkness, giving himself to the uttermost on behalf of sinners like us, regardless what anguish and sufferings in soul and body it would bring him, and regardless what we have done against him. Hear Jesus say, even as he was crucified and hanging on the cross, as they nailed him to that tree, a sin bearer, in his first of seven sayings from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. as part of Jesus' untold suffering on behalf of sinners, dear congregation, should we not consider too the fact that Jesus never could experience a mother and father's care for him as their son, like most of us could and can with our parents and our needs? And what I mean with this is not that his parents weren't caring, but Jesus' adoptive father, Joseph, and natural mother, Mary, in his human nature, they surely, yes, they surely both cared for him dearly, yet they could not understand Jesus fully, could they? Strikingly, in the end, it was Jesus who was comforting his earthly mother from the cross, and not her comforting him. When a sword pierced through Mother Mary's soul, as old Simeon had foretold in Luke 2, verse 35, would happen with Jesus' crucifixion, we know then Jesus from the cross spoke very tenderly to Mary. And he could help her in her grief. But she really couldn't and didn't actually help him then, did she? Part of Jesus' suffering on behalf of sinners was him not having and experiencing true understanding from others, not even from his adoptive father, nor his natural mother. How this can be of help and encouragement also to those among us who have suffered in family relations, and even now perhaps also among us are dealing with family members who are not showing true understanding, nor giving real help to you. Congregation, there just is no trial and disappointment in life, also family life, that Jesus cannot identify with us in and with himself as Savior, being true God and very man, like us in all things, sin excepted. Jesus, as sin bearer, had to depend alone on God his Father in his time of need, and on God the Holy Spirit to uphold him and to help him be faithful and true to the end. Psalm 35 would have been very precious to Jesus also to this end. The marvel of the gospel is Jesus Christ the Savior never wavered in his commitment and resolve to give himself even to the death of the cross to save his people from their sins. He was bowed down so heavily in the darkness. You know, he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he continued persistent to trust God to make all things right. You see, Jesus Christ, as God sent, Spirit anointed, Savior, God with us, God come in the flesh, Savior of sinners, in his boundless love for lost sinners, he shows such marvelous compassion and care towards us in all our needs, from the greatest of our problems to the least of our problems. And here, don't we have to say too, the whole concept and blessing of close family relations is not only something graciously designed by God for our good, but even more, it's what reflects the Lord himself in his own gracious, glorious being and in all his wondrous works. It reflects the infinite bond within the Trinity, the three equal persons of the one Godhead, their everlasting, blessed, perfect love bond. Here, think with me how the Bible pictures God as revealed in Christ as a faithful, dear mother in his love and care for his own. Let's look up a few references which show this, God loving his people like a dear mother. The first reference, you can look it up with me, is Deuteronomy 32, verse 11 to 14. I'll give you a moment to look it up. Deuteronomy 32, 11 to 14. Deuteronomy 32, 11 to 14. In this passage, Moses, among his last words to the people of Israel, before his own death, And before they crossed into the land of Canaan, Moses, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he would give them yet one beautiful picture of who and what God is like to his people, trusting and following him. And it's the picture of a mother eagle with her younger ones. Deuteronomy 32, 11 to 14, writing about God's care for his people, Moses compares it, will you read it with me? As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him, that is Israel, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. And it goes on to speak of other provisions from the Lord. And you see what this text represents? It gives a precious picture of the Lord's tender care and keeping and his ongoing provision for his people. As one noted with that eagle picture here, as they were taught to fly and had little strength, they would start to fall. At that point, however, the eagle mother would stop their fall by spreading its wings underneath them so they could land on them. And so the Lord had carried Israel and not let the nation fall. He had been training Israel to fly on his wings of love and omnipotence. And Moses here pleads with the Israelites so always to remember their God and to cling to him and not turn from him. The second passage showing the Lord's tender love as a mother and father to their children, we have in Isaiah 49, verse 14 to 16. Isaiah 49, 14 to 16. There the Lord, by his prophet Isaiah, speaks to his people who are discouraged and wondering if God is there for them. Isaiah 49, 14 to 16. In the context where they are saying, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. And in response, what does God say? He says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. Yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me. The Lord is saying here, beloved, his love and care for his own is measureless and endless and even infinitely greater and better than that of the best mother or father in our lives, even when we think maybe he has forsaken us. And Jesus, we know, as sent from God to serve as Savior of sinners, he proved, didn't he, most willing and ready to sacrifice everything for his people. Yes, didn't he do so? Again, giving himself even to the death on the cross to save such as you and me, to accomplish full and free redemption for all who repent of sin and trust and follow him. You know, the cross nail prints in the palms of Jesus' hands as Savior demonstrate God's undying love for us, even when we have shown ourselves most undeserving of the least of his mercies. As people created by God, in our fall and sin in Adam and with our daily sins of ourselves, we have forfeited, haven't we, every blessing from God. But like a dear mother and father, so caring in love, even for their erring children, so much more is God toward his people. Two Old Testament verses that say this clearly also are Psalm 103, verse 13, and Isaiah 66, verse 13. In Psalm 103, 13, we read David testify about God. As a father pities or deeply cares for his children, so the Lord pities, deeply cares those who fear him. And in Isaiah 66, verse 13, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, we read there most beautifully, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted. in Jerusalem. Congregation, even when we have lost our earthly parents, or only one of them, in either case, the Lord God proves to be most dear and caring for His people as often as you and I call on Him. Jesus on the cross, I remind you again, was left comfortless and suffering the full righteous wrath of God as substitute for sinners, that His people, all who look to Him to save them, might ever know and be blessed with God's boundless loving care for them in and through Christ Jesus. This is the precious, inexhaustible gospel of Jesus Christ still today for whoever has ears to hear. If you feel without love, without comfort, without family care, go to Jesus. You will find it with Him. The Bible tells us so. So Jesus describes also very beautifully in the New Testament Himself in Matthew 23 verse 37 and Luke 16, 34. You know how He describes Himself? You'd hardly dare say it if it wasn't said by Him. What picture does Jesus give us here in those verses about His manner and His way with His people? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But you were not willing. What a loving and tender picture of God, like a mother hen towards her rebellious children who, like ourselves, deserve only to be cast away. How often, you may recall as I do, how often our earthly parents have been so patient and loving and caring towards us, even when we had proved so wayward and rebellious and thankless towards them. One other reference to bring forward yet here is from 1 Thessalonians 2. Where the Apostle Paul describes his gospel ministry in Jesus' name to the congregation there. And what does he say there? He describes his gospel ministry and care for them, verse 7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you. And then in verse 11 to 12, the same apostle testifies, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Well, the point, congregation, with all these other Bible references is clearly, you see with me, don't you? The biblical concept of motherhood and fatherhood is not only meant to be such a tender blessing for us in life, but it gives such a true gospel picture of Christ and who God is in Christ for His people. How good and right when in our parenting of our children, we seek as fathers and mothers to represent this God to our children in all His boundless, wondrous love and care for His people. The greatest expression of true love and care is much more than ever found in the dearest mother and father here on earth. That's why it's so sad when our society celebrates Mother's Day, but they forget the Lord's Day. We have it all backwards by nature. The greatest demonstration of love is discovered and experienced only, ultimately, in and through Christ, the Savior of sinners, as your and my Savior and Lord, by grace through faith in Him. Are you today trusting and following Jesus as only Savior and Lord? Think here how blessed we are when we do, of David's testimony for us in Psalm 27, verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, or pass on from this life, then the Lord will take care of me, he testifies. Yes, the Lord, for He lives and reigns forever, doesn't He, to care for us in all our needs, whether we live or die, and in whatever situations we may find ourselves in. Also in our present COVID-19 situation, with all its fallout, and miseries, and restrictions, and struggles. Well, do you follow and trust and reflect this God triune in spirit and truth, whether as parents or children or siblings. And saying that brings us now to our third and last point in connection with our theme, why highlight David mourning as for his mother in the context of Psalm 35. This is what David highlights, yes, in Psalm 35:14, as an expression of his dear, genuine care, even for his enemies, in their needs and sufferings. And we've seen how him speaking of mourning for his mother here proves how a faithful dear mother is such a tender, gracious blessing for us in life. And it's a true gospel picture of God's love for us in and through Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. Now one more thought. The third is how this brings out such a tremendous, glorious responsibility that we have. And I mean here, such a tremendous gospel responsibility for us as parents not only, but also as children. As parents, yes, how we should see our calling to raise our children, if God in His providence gives us this privilege to raise them ever seeking in all things to be faithful and godly, most loving, wise parents. So caring for our children in all their needs. The calling of motherhood, let's say that, is one of the highest callings possible. And never should it be downgraded or minimized, as sadly is done so often in our times. Not only in the world, but even in the visible church. A career in some profession, as necessary as it may be at times, and as good as it can be, is not a more lofty position ever than being a faithful, diligent mother in the home, if that's your privilege. Be encouraged, mothers, as you do your work, and fathers, as you support your spouse in this holy calling. The influence of a godly mother and father in the home is inestimable. How many will say they were so blessed in their lives, for now and forever, very much also because of the godly example and life of mother. The father in the home, or just the mother in the home. I definitely can speak of that. But speaking of such a tremendous responsibility, a faithful mother and father are, let us also think of the great responsibility we have as children and sons and daughters towards our parents. Are we not called, beloved, to honor them? And to go out of our way to love and respect our parents, not just on Mother's Day or Father's Day, but always seek to be helpful and obedient, respectful towards them. Is that what you are doing, children at home? Even this morning? Think too of this time with the coronavirus. What a role mothers and fathers in many homes are taking on to help as best as possible in the schooling and day-to-day life at home. Have you expressed humble and hearty appreciation to your mother for all the extra duties being at home 24/7 brings for her? And appreciation to your dad too for all his help and encouragement in this extra stressful time? We dishonor God when we disrespect our parents. We honor God when we respect and are grateful towards our parents. Should we not also as spouses encourage to, in the awfully often demanding role of motherhood, encourage them in that role? I mean, think of it. Surely the repeatedly taxing and draining and often seemingly mundane responsibilities that mother has, that she keeps at faithfully, lovingly. We all know the best way for a man to love his children is to be very supportive of his wife, also his mother. We all know true, too, it's generally true, if mama ain't happy, no one's going to be happy. So you take care, dads and children, that mama be happy Not just on Mother's Day, but every day. That's your responsibility. The book of Proverbs gives many exhortations to honor each other in the family setting and to help each other in the various important roles and responsibilities at home. Let us in our homes remember also those who would love to be married or who married would love to have children and either or neither are presently granted them to experience. Let's feel their pain and bring it to the Lord. Let's show true care and respect and love for one another in our various needs and situations in life. Congregation, when David most wanted clearly to relate his care and love still, even for his enemies, he testified in Psalm 35:14, I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. And so we learn, you see, with David expressing so caring for those around him, even his enemies, it has so much to teach us, doesn't it? Psalm 35 reflects, if people will not trust and obey the Lord and His ways, well then, to God we may pray. Yes, Psalm teaches us this. Please, Lord, bring them to their senses or else lead them to their eternal doom. Yes, Lord, deal with them. Deal justly with the wicked. But notice, even as David prays this too, and the Lord Jesus, never ever did David, nor the son of David, ever live before his enemies, even wishing such an end for them. But rather, he, David, and the son of David, were among their enemies, caring for them as one who mourns for his mother. May God give us such true compassion and care for others in our homes and in our church family and for all around us. Preacher Spurgeon said in this regard these challenging words, quote, how few professors or confessors of Christianity in these days have such bowels of compassion as David here demonstrates. And yet, under the gospel, there should be far more tender love than under the law. Had we, writes Spurgeon, more hearty love to humanity and care for its innumerable ills, we might be far more useful. Certainly, we should be infinitely more Christ-like. That's so true, isn't it? Oh, that we all live and die, casting all our cares on the Savior God, who is as a father who pities his children, and as a mother who comforts her children. And God help us reflect that same love and care towards others. Surely, by God's grace and Spirit, what a Christian witness we then give. And how blessed when it is exercised and seen and experienced and learned, beginning in our homes. Even so, may God prosper also this sermon, and to Him alone be all the glory. Amen.